Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we're going to begin a new short series of studies, which we're going to entitle Paul's Epistle to the Philippians. This short epistle of four chapters was written while Paul was in prison. It has a note of triumph about it. You would never know that Paul was in prison by the tone of the epistle. You know it by the substance of the epistle. But though they incarcerated him in prison, though he was bound in chains, and his bodily freedom was limited to that prison, that praetorium, nevertheless his mind is free. And the Philippian epistle is all about the mind. We have in chapter 1 the gospel mind. We have in chapter 2 the humble mind. We have in chapter 3 the devoted mind. We have in chapter 4 the tranquil mind, which we will explore a chapter for each broadcast. And today we wish to consider the gospel mind as the Apostle Paul speaks of it. Oh, how his mind was alert. He was there in prison. He couldn't preach the gospel, but he could pray, and he could think of the saints and write to them and encourage them, even as he does in this epistle to the Philippians. I think the theme verse of chapter 1 is really found in verse 27, and here it is. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. This is the gospel attitude in our minds, the gospel mind. We're just going to call it the gospel mind. And here, these people were gospel-minded. In this first chapter of Philippians, we have the gospel mentioned in no less than six times. And in verse 5, we have the fellowship of the gospel brought before us. In verse 7, we have the confirmation of the gospel brought before us. Verse 12, we have the furtherance of the gospel. In verse 17, we have Paul's defense of the gospel. Verse 27, the first part of the verse, we have living out the gospel in our manner of life. And then in the last part of the verse, we have striving for the gospel. Let's notice these 6 points in this wonderful chapter on the gospel mind. In verse 5, and if you have your Bibles near at hand, we invite you to read with us. In verse 5, we read there, well, really, beginning at verse 3, I thank my God, Paul says, upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Now, that fellowship, it was developed in two ways, by prayer and by practical giving. You know, it's wonderful to have fellowship with other people in a good cause. In this world of today, we see on the television so many times people who are devoted to a cause, and they demonstrate for it, and they bear placards, and they try to further their cause, and there is a real fraternity formed by people of that one determination to further that cause. Now, if their cause is worth furthering, what about the gospel that will show men how they can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and go to heaven? And that Paul prays for these Philippians in verse 5. We read that he, your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, and then in the verse immediately preceding, he says, always in every prayer of mine for you, making request with joy. Now, in verse 19, we have their prayers for Paul. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Paul was praying for the Philippians, and the Philippians were praying for Paul. And this was their fellowship in the gospel. They wanted both Paul and the Philippians to see the gospel go out. And Paul was anxious that they should see that the gospel should go out. But then there is another way in which we can further the gospel, by our practical giving. And these Philippians were very generous with the Apostle Paul in supporting him. Gospel preachers need support. And Paul says in verse 14 of chapter 4, "Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction." Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. They were so anxious that the gospel go out that they supported the Apostle Paul by their gifts. And then the confirmation of the gospel is mentioned in verse 7 of this first chapter of Philippians. Even as it is meet, even as it is appropriate for me to think of this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. Now we're going to mention the defense of the gospel farther down in the chapter, verse 17. We're going to speak of the confirmation of the gospel here. We need to make sure, and Paul strove for that, we need to make sure that people understand the gospel. First of all, their need of the gospel, and then God's provision of the gospel, and then of their acceptance of the gospel by simple faith. Why do we need the gospel? Because we're sinners, and our sins will take us to hell. But God does not want us to go to that place. So he sent his Son. He gave his Son, and this is God's provision of the gospel. He gave his Son to die on the cross for your sins and for my sins. And in his wonderful plan of salvation, he imputed our sins for Christ as though he were guilty, and he died for them as our substitute. And then last of all, we need to make sure that people understand the acceptance of the gospel by simple faith. We can't earn it. The gospel of God is eternal life is a gift, a pure and simple gift from God. We can't earn it. We can't demean God by trying to pay for the blood of his Son. We must receive the gospel in simple, trusting faith. And Paul was devoted to that in this chapter of the gospel mind, that he, though he was in bonds, he was set for the defense and confirmation of the gospel. We need to confirm the gospel and make people be sure to understand what it is and why it needs to be. And then he speaks of the furtherance of the gospel in verse 12, where he says there, "But I would that ye understood, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel." Now he was in prison, and he was a famous prisoner, and they wanted to know why he was incarcerated. Well, he was incarcerated for the gospel. And Paul says, "The things that have happened to me have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel." He was willing that the gospel be made known by whatever means, even if it meant for him to be in prison, even if it meant for him to be subject to death. So here we have the furtherance of the gospel by our lives as well as by our lips. We need to witness and tell people that they can be saved and go to heaven if they want to, but they've got to go God's way. They've got to take their place as a sinner and humbly accept Christ as their Savior because he died for them. Then we can do it by our lives and by our lips as well. Now he speaks in verse 17 as the defense of the gospel. Here we will emphasize it. Well, we'll read verse 15 first. "Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. When the one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel." Then he adds, "What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation." Now this was his defense of the gospel. He defended it even at the cost or the risk of his own life. And he was willing to seal his testimony with his blood. I think of the five martyrs, those five young men that died on the Carari River down in Ecuador in January of 1956. When the news broke out over the radio about their martyrdom, I said, this is the greatest thing that has happened in the 20th century. Five young men showing that the gospel was worth dying for. Later, missionaries-minded people compiled the statistics that from those the death of those five young men, there were some 2,300 missionaries went into the mission field. They did not die in vain. They demonstrated to the world, here was something worth dying for, as well as living for. This is the business of God. And he defends it with his life. Then we read in verse 27 about the manner of life. He uses the authorized version uses the old English word conversation. It really means our manner of life. Only let your manner of life be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Our lives should be commensurate with the gospel. They should be a demonstration of what the gospel does in a person's life after they accept Christ. And we can commend the gospel with our lives by our living for God in this world here below. Many people are led to Christ, not by the gospel they preach, but by the life they live. I have heard that in personal testimony. Then lastly, we are to strive for the gospel. Later in this verse we read, I may hear of your affairs that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. The gospel needs to be striven for. There is much to be done for the gospel. It's no Sunday school picnic. We need to give them our means, our time, our energy, our effort, and even our very lives if necessary. Now, we don't live in a nation where one puts his life on the line to preach the gospel. But you know, I think sometimes we would be better off if we had to do it. We would show what was really worthwhile and what was worth dying for instead of trying to evade disfavor of some friends. Oh, the gospel is worth living for, dying for, striving for. May God help us to see the worth of the gospel. May we indeed be gospel-minded. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray that you will help us to get out the gospel that people might believe and be saved and go to heaven. In Christ's name, amen.